there was Agent 99 was his sidekick slash love interest. Very, very beautiful woman.
How did
the movie that recently came out with the
Anne
guy
Hathaway
from the
and Steve Carell?
Yep, Steve Carell.
How did that do? Was that popular or not?
I liked it. I liked it.
No,
that movie. The movie wasn't popular.
I think it's only because I didn't watch the show growing up. I just watched that movie, and I like Steve Carell. I like Anne Hathaway. That's why I liked it.
I like both Anne Hathaway and Steve Carell too, Emily. But the movie was no bueno. It was not good.
Agree, disagree. Maybe it's
the Get Smart TV show a little predates me, but I do remember seeing it in syndication. It was just so stupid, and the people that they would deal with were called Chaos, Al. And so that doesn't matter. But I needed you to know that. Here's some good Ask Slee follow ups. Are you ready?
Some overtime Ask Slee.
Yeah. Well, we'll sprinkle a few out through the rest of the morning. Mm-hmm. This is from Miles in Whittier. And Miles writes, what's Slee's go-to karaoke song to get the party started? Hashtag Ask Slee. Do you have a go-to karaoke song?
I don't think I've actually – I can't even remember if I've even gone to a karaoke bar and was like, give me the mic. I've been to a karaoke bar, but like actually going up there with a mic and saying, nah, I got this, guys.
Stand back.
Yeah. throw – it was Michael Jackson's Beat On. Yeah, bring it over here. Give me the mic.
So Michael Jackson, huh? That'd be your first stop. Is you gonna? Can you hit the high notes like Michael?
More. You have that. No, it would actually. This is the perfect way to describe karaoke. It's like when people actually sing seriously and it sounds kind of good. That's not good. Like, nobody's looking for that, right?
We're not looking for an episode of American Idol.
Right.
They don't need that.
But that happens. Like, people will go up there. Like, that's the song they've been practicing. I'm like, what are you doing? Like, it's awkward if it sounds good.
Right.
You know what I mean? So, what would I do to that? I would butcher it. You got a go-to karaoke song there?
I have never done it. But if I did do it, I'm going Welcome to the Jungle for all the obvious reasons.
Yeah, that's a good
I just
one.
Feel like
that's a good one to do.
I want to try to hit that high note because, as you can tell by my speaking voice,
mm-hmm.
high notes are really easy for me to
do. I could see you doing more like a Tupac hit 'em up. You know,
yeah.
Like one of those. I don't know. I feel there's such a connection there between you and Pac. But that's just my opinion.
Yeah, I like it. Let's see here. This is too good. I have to do this too. This is from our guy, Big E. What was your first car, and did you name it? You know, Shaggin' Wagon or Slee Stang? did you have a Slee Stang in high school or college?
I had my first car was a Nissan Frontier.
Oh, that's an SUV, right?
Definitely not an SUV. It's a truck, and it's like. It's the trucks before they like became actual trucks, right? Like, you know how now you look at certain trucks, you're like, that's a nice truck.
Yeah.
The Nissan Frontier was like, and it had like a stripe. Like, this was part of the design for the Nissan Frontier. It was a white truck and it had a gray stripe all the way down. I always looked at it, I'm like, why the hell did they put that gray stripe? Just not exactly the greatest looking car.
Did you call it the Slee Stang or not?
That was exactly it. That's exactly what I called it.
All right. So let's go back to what we were talking about with Kobe for a second. And Travis and Slee was brought to you by Progressive Insurance. All guests appear via the Goodyear hotline. The reason we brought it up is it was 25 years ago yesterday that Kobe signed with the Lakers. So, you know, a quarter of a century later, that's hard to even wrap your head around it when you say it like that. But when did you kind of know he wasn't just a great player? Because that took a season or two to realize that he was a special talent, but that he was going to be a transcendent, not just basketball player, but person in this city, to where he had the entire city in the palm of his hand for the better part of 10-plus years.
So Kobe was – it took time, I think, for a lot of – you know this, Trav, and I think there was kind of a camp with the Lakers. There was kind of a Kobe camp. There was a Shaq camp. And I'd always say this. I mean, for me, I'd kind of like turn my head, and I was a Shaq guy. I was in the Shaq camp. So if you ask me, I thought Shaq kind of had a way of kind of galvanizing the troops. Had a way of everybody liked Shaquille O'Neal, and Kobe was obviously just a completely different personality.
Yep.
But when they'd play in some of these big games against, whether it's the Blazers or in the finals against the Pacers, or every time there was a moment for Kobe, right? There was Shaq would foul out, or he was in foul trouble, oh, Lakers are screwed. And Kobe would do something where you're like, yeah, that's not – a kid shouldn't be doing what Kobe's doing at this age. A kid shouldn't be stepping up. That's why I kind of – it drives me crazy a little bit, to be honest with you, when I watch some of these NBA Finals games and I hear so much chatter about, well, Devin Booker is like Kobe, yeah, or Shaq is like that. Giannis.
Yeah,
like, what? Why are you – what are you talking about? Like, why are we having this conversation? Do you know what Kobe Bryant was? And to even have that as a conversation, I understand they had a good relationship, and I love the fact that there's a great story. I think I mentioned it. Wilbon and Devin Booker had a piece together, and Devin Booker talks about in one of Kobe's final games, he asked Devin Booker to come back to the locker room. He had a nice conversation, 15, 20 minutes. He actually had a tattoo of something Kobe said, be legendary, right? So he writes that on his shoe. I get all that. Those are great stories. And I'm sure for NBA Finals lacking stories, you try to kind of grab storylines. That's awesome. That's fantastic.
Take what you can get.
Don't compare the players.
Yeah.
So I go back to that because there were times in Kobe's career where it was Shaq's team. Shaq was the most dominant player. Shaq was the Finals MVP.
Shaq's team right up until they traded him.
Okay.
I mean, until the day they traded him.
And it was Shaq's team.
Yeah.
But I'll go to this. Shaq ain't winning those championships without Kobe. And I think that's something that there were moments that everybody can remember in the Kobe and Shaq era where there was a time where I'm like, I don't know how Kobe's doing this at this young of an age. I don't know how he's so fearless at this young of an age. And oh, by the way, Shaq fouled out or is in foul trouble, and he's sitting on the sideline. And the defense had an opportunity to focus all their attention on Kobe, and Kobe would still find a way.
Yeah, I'm curious what Laker fans think too. 877-710-ESPN. When did you know he wasn't just a great player, but was something much, much better? Greater than that as far as an icon, and not just an icon in the NBA, but an icon in the city. And I have a confession to make. I was super late to the game. Super late. Because like you said, when Shaq and Kobe won their three titles and then they had the personality thing, it blew it up. And they didn't like each other, and they were both like, I'm done with this guy. I don't, they were both feeling the same way. The city was kind of divided into two camps. You're a Shaq guy, you're a Kobe guy. I was a Shaq guy. Okay, and so even when Shaq got shipped out to Miami, I was thinking, okay, let's see. I know Kobe's great. I know he's a good player, but show me, right? And then Shaq goes to Miami and wins one, and it's like, and I know
this is the worst. By the way, that was like one of the worst moments.
It was rough, right?
Yeah,
because he's down there, and look, Dwayne Wade was, transcendent as well.
Sure, but it was just the mere fact he left. Lakers looked like they made a mistake, and he wins a championship. Yep.
Yep. And so you're thinking, uh-oh. And Kobe was playing well, but it hadn't happened yet. It wasn't until Gasol came over and the Lakers started doing it again, and Kobe was like, okay, I got this. And once he did it with that and did it twice and got one against the Celtics, it was like, yeah, this just isn't a great player. This is one of the all-time greats. This is arguably the best Laker ever. You know, Kobe, Magic, Kareem, take your pick. It's more of an era question than anything else. But this is that. It was at that moment. It's like, yeah, he's just not a great player. He's a different dude. He does things that other people don't do. He goes about it differently. He knew all along. I was 12, 13 years too late.
Isn't it kind of funny you said that the moment that Shaq got traded, didn't it feel like Kobe had to get that out of his system?
For sure.
Let me be the guy. We're going to probably fail, okay? But I'm going to take as many shots as I'm the focal point. And he had never had that in his career, right? Up until the point that moment came, he got a chance to kind of get that out of his system. Then it was back to, okay, let's go back to winning time. Once they got Pau Gasol, they obviously didn't have a chance before Pau came to be a championship contender. But I'm gonna say for me where you kind of started realizing what Kobe Bryant was, and I'm with you. Listen, that I was one of those Laker fans that was saying you can't trade Shaq, you just can't. He's the most dominant player. This actually kind of shows the visionary of Dr. Jerry Buss as well. And we were looking at today. He was looking 5 years down the road, and he just kind of envisioned, hey, this is how it's going to work out, and obviously it paid off.
Yeah, there is no other Shaq. There is no other Shaq. You can find another guy that can shoot and slash, but there's no – well, yeah, Kobe knew. Kobe actually did. All right, we got some phone calls here. 877-710-ESPN. Let's start in Baldwin Park with Oscar. Oscar, you're on with Travis and Slee. What's going on?
Hey, what's up, guys? Thanks for taking my call. Real quick, I noticed Kobe. I know we had something special with Kobe was in the 1999 season. He was still wasn't named a starter yet, but they had a game against Orlando. In Orlando, they were down like 20 points at the halftime, and he came back and he scored like 25 points, something like that, in the second half, brought them back to a victory. And then after that, I think he pretty much took over the starting spot, and that's when I think they traded Eddie Jones like right after that or something like that.
Appreciate you calling in. Thanks, Oscar.
Yeah.
Hey, Travis. It is kind of funny because you kind of look back at it now. I mean, I'm trying to think of a player that had – he has so many different chapters in his career.
No doubt.
Right? Like, and usually the player that you are from the beginning is not that different of the player that you were at the end. I'm not saying that, you know, you're not
evolving.
It's polished,
but it's the same thing.
Right. Think of a player where it was so many, I mean, drastic differences of their career, how one part of it was and the other part.
Yeah, not drastic like that. The other guy that would come back every year with something a little bit different, add a wrinkle to his game, was Magic. It got to the point where I can't wait to see what Magic does in the audience. He'd come back with the three-point shot. He'd come back with the baby sky hook. He'd come back where he was just attacking the basket. There was always – but you're right about Kobe, just a total – and what's so cool about it is you hear Oscar say that there's going to be – if we took 20 calls, there'd be 20 different answers.
Right.
And that's what makes it so good. Let's try another one. Let's go to Valley this time, and Van Nuys, Mario. Mario, you're on with Travis and Slee. What's up?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Hey.
Hey, I just want to talk about the moment I realized that Kobe was great was I think it was Game 5 in the 2000 Finals when Shaq fouled out and Kobe on the sprained ankle led us to that victory.
He had, by the way, Mario, appreciate you calling in. He had, so you had the series against the Pacers. You had... But do you remember the San Antonio Spurs battles? And there was one game specifically, and I think it was the same thing. Shaq fouled out, and there's Kobe coming off an offensive rebound off a Derek Fisher miss, you know, puts a putback. I've said this all the time, and I'll continue to say it. My favorite Kobe years was the Kobe and Shaq era. So as much as Kobe even did it by himself down the road kind of a little bit later on, but I loved the Kobe and Shaq era. And some of those memories, we remember the Kobe Shaq to, you know, the Kobe lob to Shaq. Like, we remember stuff that they did together. Kobe had some pretty amazing individual moments. I think that's what Mario was referring to.
All right, we got a bunch of phone calls here. We're going to continue to take those and get your memories. You know, when did you know that Kobe was a little bit different than just a great player, but something even above and beyond just a great basketball player, but becoming that icon? 25 years ago yesterday, Kobe Bryant signed with the Lakers. Plus, Al, I know that you watched a little bit of this. Messi's very happy. Yay, Argentina!
You're ruining my experience watching soccer now with Messi.
If by ruining you mean making it better, then yes, I'm ruining it. That's all coming up as well. It's Travis and Slee, 710 ESPN.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
Worth every last calorie along the way. Let me ask
I got a quick question for you.
Yeah.
You know how some of these barbecue shops, they'll just basically they'll serve until they're out, right? Like, hey, we got we have our brisket, the moment, the brisket's gone, the brisket's gone. Nothing you can do. These are our hours.
Sir.
By the time you were done on Friday or Saturday night, whatever it is, in and out, you think there was anything that said they had to get like a sheet of paper and put it over the menu at the drive-thru? Just they sold out.
Out.
It's gone.
Double doubles. Out. Travis. You know, like when they'll say, you know, DNP coach's decision or DNP groin, DNP knee. Double doubles. Not available, comma, they, Travis.
They had
just,
to.
He came through and
the board of directors had a late night call on Saturday. First time this has ever happened at any of our locations.
In and out headquarters in Irvine. There's something going on in Santa Barbara. We haven't seen this before. But so somebody get a truck headed north on 101 as quickly as possible. There's an anomaly at the.
They're sending them to the closest in and out. You got to go to a different one. Got to go to a different one.
There's an anomaly at the Turnpike location. We need you to go back and do something different. I was going to ask you a ton of questions. Oh, that's what it was. I don't think this is going to happen, but what if he goes out there and flames out? What if he has a really unproductive session as a hitter? What if he goes out there to pitch and just gets shelled? And what if he doesn't do anything at the plate in the All-Star game? Does it take any of the shine off? I don't think it does for me, but I could see where somebody tuning in going, this? Really? This is what I came with? What the hell? What is this?
I think it'd definitely be disappointing, right? Because a lot of times in – you know, when you hype something up as much as you do, let me give you a good example. And I was way off on this one. Remember, Lakers were going to play in the play-in against Steph and the Warriors.
Sure,
playing that play-in tournament, and I kept saying, "I'm like, this is not going to live up to the hype." It sounds sure good. Did. The promos are fantastic. I get you're trying to promote Steph Curry and LeBron James, and it not didn't only live up to the hype; it surpassed it. Doesn't happen all the time. There's a lot of hype behind Ohtani coming into the All-Star, you know, these couple of days. There's a lot of hype coming into the Home Run Derby. So if it doesn't live up to the hype, but I think you said it best early on we did the show, he doesn't have to go out there and win the Home Run Derby.
No.
Give us some things to talk about. That's all you want. That's all you want. Do you remember in that first round when he hit that shot and everybody stopped and it's panning into the, you know, into the dugout and people are just – All-Stars got their hands on their – give us something like that, yeah. And I think that will suffice.
Totally agree. ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. At Progressive, they're making things even easier. They'll help you bundle your home and car insurance together so you can save on both. Learn more at Progressive.com or 1-800-PROGRESSIVE. We're talking about the 25th anniversary, which was yesterday, of Kobe Bryant signing with the Lakers. And when did you know that not only was he a great player, but that this was a transcendent talent, a transcendent personality in this city and one of the great organizations in all of sports? When did you know that? Let's go to Hollywood. Let's check in with Mike. Mike, you're on with Travis and Slee. What's up?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I think this answer should be everyone's answer. It was definitely the 97 matchup he had with MJ when he went toe-to-toe. I think he dropped like 30 against MJ that day. And he just showed no fear against Black Jesus and his idol. And from that moment on, it was pretty clear that kid was special. And then that first playoff run he had on that championship run when he hit that double-clutch free-throw jumper to ice the game against Phoenix in Game 2 over a blonde-headed Jason Kidd. From that moment on, it was over. We knew he was going to be the next best thing. And like Alan said, Shaq doesn't win those championships without – any other two-guard in the league at that time. Kobe's two-way talent and closing down the stretch was huge for those championship runs.
Yeah, appreciate
thanks,
you calling in.
That's
you know
a really good answer. A really good answer.
It is a good answer because this was him going up against Jordan. But you know, kind of kills me sometimes when we have conversation. We start comparing players and things along those lines. Sometimes I think it's easy to forget how good Kobe was defensively, right? Like what Kobe will lock you down on one side of the floor, and then he'll go make you look stupid on the other end. I think we forget that so often, and I just bring that up because I'll go back to this Devin Booker thing, right? And this is Devin Booker, by the way. This is the first time he's ever been in the playoffs. So to even have these conversations of, you know, that's why it's so ridiculous. But I get, you know, there's a storyline sort of there, but there is not a comparison. I hope people don't make comparisons to it. But that, you know, I forget against the matchup against Jordan, because a lot of times when you talk about Kobe's career and you say, who's one player you wished he crossed paths with?
Yeah.
It's LeBron. Yeah. Right, like you wish those two played each other in the NBA Finals. Kobe did his part. LeBron didn't do his part in the, you know, that 2009 against Orlando where they ended up playing Orlando.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just too far off to get Kobe and Jordan. But it just kind of takes you back to thinking about Oh, yeah, that's right. Everything Kobe was doing was kind of mimicking the greatest player to ever play the game, which was Jordan.
Yeah, and Mike said something else that I think was probably the number one reason that Kobe became Kobe. It wasn't that he was 6'7". It wasn't that he was fast and could jump high and had a good handle and a soft touch. It wasn't as much that as it was what Mike mentioned, and that was that dude wasn't scared of anything or anybody or any situation or anything on a basketball court or really probably anywhere else that he was, oh, man. There was no – and you tell me out because
yeah.
Every once in a while you'll meet somebody. It's like, oh, my gosh, that's so-and-so, right? I remember that – and it's not a perfect example, but I met Bob Miller, who was the voice of the Kings forever and ever and ever. I was working for a different station. We had the Ducks, and when they did that thing – at Dodger Stadium with the Kings and the Ducks at Dodger Stadium, still one of the coolest things I've ever been to. But I got to sit and do a segment of radio with Bob Miller for about 10 or 12 minutes. And the entire time I'm sitting there, I'm thinking, that's Bob Miller. That's Bob Miller. Hey, that's Bob Miller. Hey, you know, that's Bob Miller. Oh, I couldn't get out of my own way thinking that this is one of the legends of Los Angeles broadcasting. Kobe didn't have that, and not in a disrespectful way, but in a way of, watch this. I want you to see what I'm about to do to you. When he went toe-to-toe with Jordan, he respected Michael Jordan, but there was no fear. There was no fear of Shaq. There was no fear of Phil Jackson. There was no fear of anybody ever. He just went out there and did work against everybody all the time, and that's unusual. It's abnormal almost. That fear is a very healthy human emotion,
sure.
And he didn't seem to have any.
Do you know why? I think there's a reason for that. I think this is the best way that I could describe it. It's like anytime you're unprepared, it's easy to get squeamish. It's easy to be like, oh, man, I'm not ready for this. I'm not ready for this moment. Kobe, you said it perfect. There are a lot of, I mean, you know, certainly not your me, but there's a lot of NBA prospects that are 6'7",
yeah,
that can handle the ball, that can play the shooting guard, that are athletic. There are a lot of players that are like that, the ones that are in this NBA world. But Kobe outworked everybody. And I think, you know, that's why that confidence was there for him. It's like, listen, if I fail, what's going to happen? I get to get up in the morning. I get to go work on this or I get to go work on that. A lot of players don't do that. You know, one of the criticisms that Shaq gets, and I always enjoy watching this on Inside the NBA when it's Shaq and it's Charles Barkley, and they're having these conversations. And Shaq always throws out to Charles Barkley, well, you don't have three finals MVPs. You don't have these championships. And Shaq always throws back, well, I didn't have somebody that I could ride like you rode Kobe Bryant and Dwayne Wade.
Right.
And I say that because Shaq's one of his biggest criticisms was he didn't work in the offseason. One of the things Kobe didn't like about Shaq is, I work this hard. Why aren't you working this hard? And Shaq had a different perspective. I'm good. I don't need to. I'm getting you results anyways.
Yeah.
Kobe outworked everybody, and I think that's probably not talked about enough in some of his accomplishments.
You just reminded me of my all-time favorite Shaquille O'Neal quote, which is, I got hurt on company time. I'm going to fix it on company time. Just nothing is more quintessentially Shaq than that comment. And I love Shaq. He's one of my all-time favorites. But that nothing could be more anathema to Kobe Bryant's sensibilities. Just like, wait, what?
There's a difference. It was a difference in mentality. There was, by the way, if I was 7'1", 300-plus pounds, and I could just dominate down low, maybe I'm not going to work as hard as that guy who's 6'6", and there are so many other players in the league that are like that. You know what I mean? So maybe that was part of the lack of motivation. He knew he could just wake up in the morning and go, and Kobe didn't.
You checked out a little Copa America over the weekend, didn't you?
Maybe watch two soccer matches over the weekend.
Did you watch the Euro?
Euro final as well. Yeah, Euro final as well.
Which
by the
one
way,
was one better?
Oh, wasn't even close. Copa America was so much better. Argentina versus Brazil was such a better game than Italy and England, even though one went down to penalty kicks. But every time I saw Messi, and I had people even tweeting us during the match, like putting a Messi voice. I'm like, I can't get this out of my head. Just let me enjoy the game.
Mom, we won. We beat Brazil. Mom, I want to go and get ice cream, and I want candy, and I want to have all the guys over for a pool party and a sleepover.
You ruined.
How messy.
You ruined an athlete for a lot of people out there.
Pick one. You can't have a sleepover and a pool party.
By the way,
Messi.
Can I say this? You know how we talk about star power and we talk about you go out of your way to watch stars? That's the only reason why I was watching that match on Saturday.
I am a star, and I don't care what you say, and I don't have to go to bed at 9 o'clock, and I can't have candy for breakfast, and
I tried changing the subject. I tried getting you back in, and I think all it did was ignite you even more.
I don't want to talk about Copa America. I want to talk about what happened to me, and I don't want to eat that broccoli. I don't like it. It's not good. I don't want it. I just feel like that's what's happening at his house. I don't know. I could be wrong. But it feels like
Could you be wrong? Could you be wrong, Travis?
It's possible. I mean, I've been wrong before. It could happen
again.
That's
take for take what's happening in Messi's house right now.
Thank you, Emily. I appreciate the support. Yeah, it just feels like that's probably what it is. I also
like
that his
mother
addresses
him as
Messi.
You should on Saturday when we're at the LAFC match just have a voice, some kind of soccer voice. I feel like this isn't even a – I don't even know if it's just a Messi voice. I feel like it's kind of a soccer voice.
No, because I do a lot of soccer voices. I do my Ronaldo voice, which is, hey, yo,
No, that
Messi,
one's,
good job on Copa America. Way to go. We beat Brazil. Good job. We got knocked out in the Euro, but better luck next time, bro. Good job.
Do you have a David Beckham
impression? All right, mate. Sit with Tom Cruise, watch a little tennis. That's my David Beckham.
He wasn't watching tennis. He was sitting with Tom Cruise, but that was for the Euro Cup.
Oh, they were at the Euro? I thought maybe they were watching Wimbledon.
All the stars for the Euro were on the sidelines. You know, you got the royal family, you got the Beckham.
That's right.
Everybody there. That's where all the stars were.
Hey, Beckham, you're not watching
that's pretty good.
Euro.
That's actually pretty good right
there. Spot a tea, love. I feel like they call each other love a lot. I don't really know. We should get Kent on to evaluate my English accent.
David will break it down for us.
I'm sure he's super, super impressed on how that's going. You know, I have a problem, Al. I have a problem that maybe you can help me with Major League Baseball. It's a little Dodger adjacent. We'll get into that next. It's Travis and Slee, 710 ESPN.
You know what I'm searching right now?
What's that?
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
I'm searching when Jokic won MVP. Because this has been going on since he won MVP.
Well, what are you going to do? I mean, it's a pretty big day in Serbia.
It was June 8th.
Well, it's that July means since, was it 13th today, something like that.
That means for over 1 month, we've been working on material for the 10:30 segment because Morales keeps playing Serbian music.
It's the 12th.
This one's actually a tie-in today.
Yeah, I was going to say, Djokovic won Wimbledon again. I think it was his 484th Wimbledon title. I think he beat Rod Laver for his first, and then he came through again yesterday.
Pete Sampras, yep, took down Pete.
Yeah, like Laver to Arthur Ashe to Jimmy Connors to McEnroe to Sampras to, I don't know who else, Federer. And who's the Spanish guy? I forget his name. I'm blanking on it. The left-handed guy.
Nadal.
That's it. Mm-hmm. Yes, Nadal. Him. So there you go. That's congratulations to Djokovic. Brought to you by Progressive Insurance. All guests appear via the Goodyear Hotline. What do you got, Al?
All right, so Kyle on Twitter. I knew Kobe was special when he went toe-to-toe with MJ in Chicago back in 97, similar to what one of the callers said. Kobe had 33, MJ had 36. When he didn't back down to his idol, to the best player in the world at the time, I knew he had generational talent. That's one tweet that I think a lot of people can relate to. And then another tweet that I think people can relate to as well. Chad Kramer says, literally every time I see him play now, I hear that voice ruined forever. He's talking about you doing the Messi voice and that no one who appreciates Messi can watch him and just appreciate him anymore because they have your version of his voice in their head now.
Well, it's actually a compliment, really. Because if he's not the best player in the world, he's 1A to Ronaldo, right? He's an extraordinarily gifted athlete. And that he's small, that he's little and still dominates, that's the
part. But soccer.
That, that stands out. I mean, I get that soccer, and soccer's not the NBA or the NFL. Yeah. I get that, mm-hmm. but even by soccer standards, he's kind of small, and he's still out there just dominating. Like, I don't care how small I am. I'm still going to score goals, and I'm still going to go to Chuck E. Cheese, and I'm still going to get a new bike, and I'm going to do it, and I don't care what
you say. If only listeners can see, as I watch you on Zoom, you are pumping your fist up like a child in a playground, just kind of giving – Yeah,
you've
giving
seen
his
guys,
emotions
little,
out.
Little kids get upset at Toys R Us where mm-hmm. they stamp their foot and I won't go down. And then they try to lay down and their mom goes, now Messi.
Unbelievable.
That's, if you behave, you can have an extra scoop of ice cream tonight. I also I want to get into this one other tweet here, too. This is from our pal Francis. This is your fault, Slee.
Yep.
Because you were talking about them having to go barbecue restaurant and shut the door after I went through In-N-Out. So he has put a sign over the double-double on the In-N-Out ordering box that says sold out, but instead of the O in out, it's my face, which feels, you know, I do have feelings, you know. I am a human being living in the world.
They had to change the hours of that one In-N-Out in Santa Barbara.
Indefinitely closed while we restock. that we need to go through and get it done.
They're open now, 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. That's it.
Oh, man. All right, so I don't know if you everybody saw this, but the Yankees and the Astros were playing this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And they got into and I kind of liked what the Yankees were doing. Aaron Judge hits a home run, I think, on Saturday.
Yeah, Saturday night.
And as he's going around the bases, he kind of grabs the top of his jersey and covers up, similar mm-hmm. to what Altuve did back in the ALCS.
Yep.
And he was asked about it after. He goes, "Oh no, I don't know what you're talking about. It gets cold inside there, and I was just letting my teammates know that you know we need to bundle up." So fast forward to yesterday, Yankees hit another home run, and the guy comes into the dugout, and they put a big heavy jacket on him, like mm-hmm. they're just trolling the Astros.
Sure,
well,
sure.
The Astros hit a home run. Which, by the way,
Trav, just to kind of, I think to put in perspective, the way Dodger fans feel about the Astros, Yankee fans feel the same way about the Astros, right? There's only two teams that have that. Like, you could be a baseball fan, or you don't have to be a baseball fan, and be upset at the Astros. It's all BS, right? All that stuff. But it goes different level for two teams, the Dodgers and the Yankees. So
no question about it. Mm-hmm. No question about it. So the Astros hit one yesterday. Martin Maldonado hits one, and he's coming around third base, and he kind of pulls his jersey open, like, see, I don't have a buzzer on. Yeah, whatever. Mm-hmm. Then Altuve lastly hits a walk-off. He beats the Yankees. He hits a walk-off. And they literally tear the jersey off of his body.
Sure.
Which made me think of course, him saying that the reason he covered up back against the Yankees was,
hey, he's shy.
I'm shy. I had a new tattoo. I don't want anybody to know I'm modest.
Where's the investigative reporting on this? I didn't see a tattoo on there.
It's on like his, what's the collarbone? What's that called?
Oh,
your clavicle. Okay. It's kind of on there. It's small. It's not very big. It's small.
Forget that story
but
then.
First of all, Altuve is built like a tank. I know he's a mm-hmm. little guy, but that guy's jacked up. I wouldn't wear a shirt out to the field if I looked
What's
like that.
What's his voice?
I'd be playing, hey.
No. Such BS.
Hey, Chapman.
It should be the same voice as Messi. There should be
but
no difference.
But he's not the best player in the world like Messi is. He's just a pretty
He's
good
a baller.
Player. He's pretty good.
So the best player in the world gets a 9-year-old voice, and someone who's not the best player gets a, like we've said this before, a biker in Orange County.
If Altuve had the game of Ohtani, then he'd get the Messi voice, but he's just a good player. But here's what I don't get, and this is what bothers me as a Dodger fan. The Astros get to make fun, or I should say the Yankees get to make fun of the buzzer. When mm-hmm. they hit a home run, they can say, gotcha. The Astros need to not. And they know better. It's the reason that they're all ducking the All-Star game. It's the Astros will have no players at the All-Star game because they're humiliated. Not just with the fans. They don't want to walk back into a locker room with players that are wearing a different uniform. They don't want to walk because I thought one of the most interesting things about that, both the Dodgers, the Yankees, and really across baseball, without exception really, everyone, those guys, that's not okay. Mm-hmm. When there's sign stealing, when there's a corked bat, when you're loading up the baseball, it's more like, hey, look, that's part of our game. It is what it is. But they crossed a line that offended other players, and the other players were outspoken in their criticisms, and I think that's a big part of it because there was no All-Star game last year. Mm-hmm. This is the first time. They've gotten kind of used to opposing fans giving them the business.
And baseball didn't do anything about it.
So going into the locker room and Coors Field with the other American League All-Stars. You want to walk in there with Aaron Judge and have Aaron Judge looking at you a certain way? You want to walk in there and deal with that?
Probably no, you don't. Not. Which is why they're all making excuses. Altuve saying that he's got, you know, an injury. There's a reason why they don't want to be there. And Trav, I think it's actually more of what the – I think it's a great point because more of what the fans are going to say, your peers is probably what these players care most about. Nobody's going to respect the Astros. Nobody's going to believe what they did in the World Series that they won. I've said this before, and we've had this conversation just because this has come up. They'll regret this for the rest of their lives. By the way, and I don't know if this will change. The Astros are as good as any team from a record perspective, as any of the top 5-7 teams or so in baseball. Uh-huh. I don't know if they won a World Series, if that would, how much that would change things. Like, would you now say, well, hey, you know what? Yes, of course, I'll never respect that franchise. But they actually won one without cheating. So, yes, they are a good team. They could get it done. But until something like that happens, they'll never be respected by whether it's fans or their peers. And I think the All-Star game of some of these guys, these top players saying, no, we're out of it, that's a telling sign.
It is. Yeah, for guys like Altuve, Correa, and Bregman and those guys, I don't think even another World Series probably doesn't wash the stink off completely. I think it's their
way. It will never wash it off. It will never wash it off completely.
It's not quite on the same level as Barry Bonds, but when you think of Barry Bonds, you think of two things. Great, great baseball player and a cheater. They're hand in glove. You can't separate the two. You think of the two things at the same time. And I'm not stupid. Jose Altuve is a great player, but he's also the other thing. Bregman is too. Correa is too. They all were. They're all.
And that will never go away. That will never go away. But, you know, like I mentioned, we'll see how this season plays out. But I think that was an interesting storyline over these last couple of days because it was against the Yankees, and Dodger fans can obviously relate to it.
All right, start saving your money, Al, because what I'm
going
to ask you next is very, very expensive. And I can guarantee, without even asking the question, I know you've never been. But I want to know if you want to go. That's next. It's Travis and Slee, 710 ESPN. Is something happening? No.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
What's going on?
Of course you know what's happening. What are you talking about?
Are you getting – did you get attacked by a shark this week or something?
You know what's happening.
Beach? What's going on?
This is one of the most exciting weeks in the year.
Dad, what are you doing? It's Shark Week.
Is it Shark Week? Is that here already?
Bet your you know what, it's Shark Week.
Raw power.
It's my favorite week of the year. It's Shark Week.
What if I sent Amanda an email and just the subject says Shark Week? Hey, Amanda, just a heads up. Annually, I take this week off.
It's a religious holiday. It's a
very, very important time of the year for me, and just wanted to make sure that I am good on that front.
I don't know if you observe in the way that I do, but I like to be at home for Shark Week and fully invested.
It starts at 6 p.m. I'm at the grocery store by 7 a.m. just getting ready, just getting prepped and ready.
I don't know
Shark Week used to be a big thing.
Movie?
I don't know if it's a big thing now.
Yeah.
Used to be a thing.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, it's we still know what it is, but I don't know if it's because of
Jaws
or the movies or whatever, but I'm still terrified of those creatures.
Is it National Geographic that does it?
It's Discovery Channel.
Oh, Discovery. Discovery.
And then the last great feature for Discovery Channel was the Michael Phelps versus shark, and he plays second behind, I can't remember the name of the shark, but
Ted.
You know, he's pretty fast.
Ted the Shark, I think, is the guy who won. Travis and Slee's brought to you by Goodyear, helping you discover the road ahead. Goodyear, more driven. I don't go into the ocean often, maybe once or twice a year, but I would be lying if I said that every time I get past waist deep, I'm like, yeah, this is probably the end of me. This is probably, it's going to happen at any second. It's going to grab me. This is probably the end of Travis.
I go deep water swimming every Saturday in Malibu.
good, about like a mile and a half out.
I go to the buoy. Just go as far out as possible.
You go from point conception that sounds to
like,
point
first of all, that sounds like the most uneducated description of somebody going swimming in the ocean, but it's all I had.
It sounds good to me.
All right, guys. So this whole week, I'm going to be sharing a shark fact every day because I love Shark Week. So today's fact is that all sharks have a sixth sense. It helps them hone in on the prey during their final phase of an attack. And they can sense electric fields in the water. And, you know, they just have this extra power within them. They're pretty powerful.
Yeah, that's not good. That's not good. What are you supposed to do if you get attacked by a shark? Aren't you supposed to?
You got to punch the nose.
Punch the nose?
I want to know.
Wait, real quick, Trav.
Is it punch the nose? Because I thought it was poke the eye. So I would have been massaging. His eye while he's taking me out when I would have been wrong, completely wrong.
That would have been it for you, Mr. Slee.
There was a surfer in Australia that got attacked by. He's sitting on his board, like, waiting for the waves to come in, and you can see the shark come out of the water, and you see this guy turn around and pow, he punches the shark in the head, and the shark takes off, and I guess you're supposed to punch it in the head or the nose or whatever, but here's my thing, Slee. The second I see a shark, I'm gonna die. I'm gonna immediately go into cardiac arrest, and it's over. So he's not even going to have to hunt me. I'm just going to be floating there.
He probably wouldn't be interested. He'd be like, "Well, no." He'd probably just sit there like, "Okay, I don't know what happened here." He just takes off. Maybe this isn't a person that I thought.
I wanted a little more meat. This is like Kobe beef. This has got too much fat. I don't like this. I don't think that's going to happen. So, all right, get your pennies together, Al, because apparently we're just going to outer space now. That if you are a billionaire, you can just fly to outer space because Richard Branson flew to space yesterday, returned to Earth safely. We know that Elon Musk has
SpaceX. This is part of Virgin Galactic. Yep.
Virgin Galactic. Elon Musk has SpaceX, so he's got his own space company.
But Elon, I feel like, is actually doing things like for society. I feel Jeff Bezos and Richard Branson are trying to make a buck here. There's a game plan behind this.
You thought you wanted to go to Maui. But what if I said you could go, you know, take a quick lap around the moon real quick? That's what it feels like we're going to. Let me just put it this way. Your phone rings, right? You look at your phone, you take, I don't know, recognize this number. It's got like 46 digits on it. Mm-hmm. And you pick it up, you say, hello? And on the other end, I go, hey, Al Sliwa.
Is that Beckham? That was the same voice for Beckham eight minutes ago.
It's so Richard Branson here. What do you say you and me go out space, mate? Do you go? If he said,
that's
look.
Not bad. Can I give some context to this?
What?
So Branson went yesterday 53 miles above the ground. Blue Origin, which is Jeff Bezos' company, is going July 20th, 62 miles above the ground. By the way, there's somebody that's going to be on that on this mission, $28 million bidder for a seat on the flight. So there's somebody going with Jeff Bezos.
Do you get an in-flight snack?
You get peanuts and you get one soft drink.
Little wimpy little plastic cup.
I understand, Virgin Galactic's going to have, they're going to sell between ticket prices for $200,000 to $250,000 each. Do I go? I'm not ready.
Why not, mate? I went myself last weekend. Everything is cheerio. Have a little
Richard,
a spot of
Richard,
tea
I go
as
to,
you circle the earth.
I go to San Francisco, Love. I get nervous. I go to San Francisco, I'm nervous.
Yeah, I'm going to need
just
them
to a little
that.
Turbulence. I'm like, guys, let's go back. Let's turn this thing around. We got this far. Let's drive there.
I've seen the right stuff. I've seen Apollo 13. I'm good. I'm going to need you guys to do that about 80 trillion times like they've done with airplanes.
I'm with you.
Before I get on that. Richard Branson calling me personally or not. Coming up next, you know what it is. It's The Dump. It's Travis and Slee, 710 ESPN. Would you care for some jam for your crumpet, Lord Sliwa, while we blast into outer space? I just feel like I'm channeling Richard Branson right now.
Do you guys have Gatorade back there? No, we're just doing 7-Up and Diet Coke.
It's a rocket ship. It's got Tang. Isn't that the only thing you're allowed to drink in space? All right, let's get to some of this stuff. Did you see where Charles Barkley wagered $100,000 on himself? Yeah. They had that American Century Championship, that that tournament up in Tahoe with all the athletes and movie stars and stuff. And he bet $100,000 on himself that he would finish in the top 70. Okay, he finished 76th and missed, but $100,000 golf game if you're Charles Barkley, that seems like a really bad idea.
Do you know how many golfers there were or no? Was it like 100
there
golfers?
There were like 80. There weren't there were very okay. there yeah, could it, there weren't a ton.
Okay, so he was fifth worst or something along those lines.
Yes.
This is what it means. It means $100,000 to Charles Barkley really means nothing. Because you could find what you're really not good at and say, oh, no, I'm going to do this, knowing that you probably won't do it, and the $100K just means nothing to Barkley. That's what
yeah.
it means.
He's better than he used to be, which is not saying much, but I don't know. I get it. $100,000 is not – it's probably like you and me. Maybe it's like, $50 or something like that, that it's not going to make or break your week or your month.
You know what
life.
It is? Can I give you a good example of what it is? It's me playing fantasy football every year. That's what it is.
Just a donation.
I know I'm donating my money. Yeah. I know people are inviting me because they're like, okay, hey, Al's coming into this one. So I think that's what it is for Barkley. It is nothing to Charles Barkley. And you know what's funny thing about Barkley? What is he really known for? Like if you type in on YouTube Charles Barkley, one of the things that are going to come up, his golf swing.
Yeah, for sure. First of all, he's been out of basketball for 20 years, right, as a player. So unless you're in a certain age, you have no idea, you know, that he was a great player. It's golf and TNT. That's what you know.
Well, there are certain athletes that you just know, hey, that player is going to be in shape even when his career is over, right? And then there's other athletes you look at. I'm like, I don't think this guy is going to be doing some, you know, sit-up crunches at 6 a.m. in the morning.
Hey, Chuck, you going to be okay? Like Shannon Sharp walks out of the football, you're like, he's fine.
Jesus.
He's going to be fine.
What the hell? Yeah, Shannon Sharp, you're right. That's a perfect example. Shannon Sharp, every time that dude does any TV, I'm like, what the hell? I almost want to throw a sweater on. I'm like, I'm embarrassed.
He looks like he's made out of rocks. He's just a perfect human specimen. He's unbelievable. All right.
You know who might be like that? LeBron 10 years, 15, 20 years from now?
I wouldn't doubt it. Yeah, he certainly feels like that. ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. Drivers who save on Progressive save over $100 on average. It is the anniversary of Family Feud, Slee. Your favorite all-time game show is what?
You know what? I'm the Family Feud.
Really?
Price is Right or Family Feud. Those two are on the same level for me.
Those are both great. Those are both great choices and hard to argue. But remember Card Sharks back in the day where it was basically you're just playing AC Deucey for scooters and kitchenettes.
Yeah.
I don't know why, but I always like that. And don't sleep on the Joker's Wild either. Back in the day, that was a good one as well.
Celebrity Pyramid.
How do we get the pod? That's good. A $25,000 pyramid's good too. That's good. What's the pod, Slee?
ESPN app or on iTunes. Travis and Slee with Show. Lakers talk tonight at 7 p.m.
There you go, Travis. We'll be back tomorrow, Tuesday edition, 8:55. We got all of your Otani updates after Home Run Derby, which starts at 5 tonight. We'll see you then.